All right, well, good morning. I am so glad to see you. A few things since we last saw each other. I am 50, and yeah, praise the Lord. So those of you who are my age or older, I look forward to seeing you guys at Lead Gen dinner next week at Val's. That's excited for that. So really excited. So one of the cool things that happened last week for me, last Saturday, I stayed up binging some show, and I was planning on sleeping in, and then my wife comes into the bedroom on Saturday morning, and she says, hey, one of our daughters, she's got this friend that's a boy, and he wants to ask me some questions, and I'm like, oh, great. So I get up, and this true story, I got up, took a shower, and got ready. She said, are you going to get a gun? And I'm like, we don't own a gun, so I'm not going to do that. So that's not an option. So I got a lightsaber toy. But then at that point, I realized he wouldn't take me serious. And so I'm waiting by the door, and our door's got glass so that you could kind of see through things. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up, and it is not this kid. It's a childhood friend of mine that she had surprised me with. I know. I'm going to do all stuff. Anyways. And so this was one of many moments that God in his grace had set in place for me to remind me how he loves me in ways that I didn't know at the time that I needed. And so it was really cool for me and Gordy just to reminisce and reflect and talk and talk about things. And then, you know, we got to see you guys last week, which was great. By God's grace, that was awesome. And then Tuesday morning, I'm driving to North Richland Hills, which going on I-20 before 7 o'clock in the morning is so fun. Not really. But so we're driving by myself. And I'm really transparent with you guys. My favorite band is this band called King's Kaleidoscope. I like them a lot, probably more than their parents do. But so I was listening to one of their songs. This one we just sang, How Deep the Father's Love. And I began just to weep because it had me reflecting of all the ways that God in his grace over my 50 years of existence has shown himself faithful to remind me that my true father really deeply loves me. And here's the deal. If he can love someone like me, then there's a lot of space for someone like you. And it is my joy that you and I get to address God's word in the book of Hebrews together, because I think it really helps us see that truth like played out. Imagine, this is one of those crazy things. Imagine if you were at a place and you were able, if you are buying your house, paying a mortgage on your house, imagine that you have paid the final payment of mortgage for your house, but you still send in checks just because you're not really quite sure that they've accepted the last payment. Could you imagine doing that? That'd be silly, right? The writer of Hebrews is addressing a group of people who wants to go back to that system of doing things. They're still thinking that they've got to do something to justify their relationship with God when Christ has already accomplished all that they would ever need. And that's what they keep doing. So some of us, if we're honest, as followers of Jesus, continue to do that. So if you have your Bibles, I want to read the text that was read for us just a moment ago. Verse 1. For since the law, Hebrews 10, verse 1, since the law it has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities. Okay, notice that contrast. Instead of the true form of these realities. Here's a grand detail that you can underline in your Bibles. It can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. These annual and daily and ritual sacrifices can never make perfect those who draw near to God. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered. Worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, here's like what they do. There is a reminder of sins every year. How many of you love being reminded of your worst days, of your worst decisions? Anybody besides me hate that? And that's what they were. Every time offered, it was just a reminder, you didn't get it right this time. You didn't get it right this time. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And so just a way to remember this section, it was a shadow, not the substance, a preview, not the fulfillment, a diagnosis of the problem, but not the cure. They couldn't remove sin. They can only remind people of it. The law can expose sin, but it cannot erase sin. So you're trying harder, you're promising more, you're repeating the same cycle of guilt will never appease you with the Lord. Only this one offering that's made in the person and work of Christ. So keep reading. Consequently, or in some text maybe it says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you've not desired. And here he begins to quote from Psalm 40. But a body you have prepared for me, in burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. Then he added this phrase, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second, meaning he does away with the continuous sacrifices of the high priest in order to be the final sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. In verse 10, and by that will, that desire of the Lord, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And here's the phrase that's the linchpin of the whole text we're going to focus on, once for all. Sometimes what happens in Christian music is they try to like really bring this super emotive, sense to the lyrics, to the meanings, the impact, and they even try to equate it with humans' approach to love. Yesterday we got Valentine's. Any flowers received in the room? Right? Okay, there's one hand raised. The local florist is severely disappointed in you guys. That was the whole point of Valentine's. Was it any chocolate in the room? Okay, a little better. Okay, well, could I eat it or just look at it? Let's eat it. Okay, got it. It's all good. It's good strategy. So there's this one song that for the most of the song, it was like connecting with me. And then it said that he would, speaking of the cross of Jesus Christ, do this a billion times more. The writer of Hebrews says, no way. Once for all. Once, one time for all. It's important that we understand this because it impacts the way that we live in this moment. Stewarding every breath we take, thinking about the goodness of this one offering. And it says now we see this focus shift from sacrifices offered by us to a sacrifice offered for us. Jesus didn't come just to die. He came to do the will of God perfectly. Our salvation does not rest on our obedience, our sacrifice, our consistency, but on Christ's obedience, fully and finally accomplished. Now, I need to make sure that you hear that because that needs to like weigh on you. Not in a way of oppressive weight, but in a way that the gravity of that should motivate you towards a love in response back to him. You ever felt that where someone does something so kind, so generous to you, so that in the moment that they fit you as if they tailored whatever gift they gave you just to you and you receive it. And then your natural response, though words don't do it like 100%, is thank you. Thank you for seeing me. Thank you for knowing me enough. Thank you. Verse 11, And every priest, listen to these phrases, stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can, here it is again, never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, notice this contrast. He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. And here is a key phrase, similar to verse 10, again, restated in a new way, repackaged. For by a single offering, speaking of Jesus, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So a couple of things. The old covenant priests would stand daily. Look at the contrast. They would stand daily, offering repeatedly. Their work was never finished. Jesus offered one sacrifice. He sat down and finished the work. It was done. You are, because of that, if you have trusted Christ, you are perfected, your standing before God is settled, and you are being sanctified, your ongoing transformation. Now, some of us have had the opportunity to read the letters from the Apostle Paul. Paul uses same concepts, but he uses a different word. This is why I don't think the Apostle Paul wrote it. If you want to argue about it, I'll meet you on the ninth green at 7 p.m. If you know the reference, great. If you don't, that's okay. I won't meet you there. That's when they water the greens, okay? So here's the tie-in. Paul uses the word justification, a declaration of righteousness, being right in your standing before God. The writer of Hebrews uses the word perfected. Same concept, different word. Very important that we understand our standing, our position before God the Father has been made perfect. And by God's grace, every day that you and I wake up in prayer, in the Word, through exchanges with other people, listening to the Word being preached or heard through song or whatever, God in His grace is doing this work of making us to be in sanctification what He's already declared that we are in justification and in perfection. He's daily making you and I make decisions that we naturally wouldn't have made apart from Him, where we're beginning to be more sensitive and thoughtful and mindful of His presence and power at work in us and through us in the lives of others. That's this work of sanctification, making us to be what He already says we are in justification, in this, as the writer of Hebrews says, perfection. So, I don't know if you guys have ever had like a really favorite teacher or favorite professor. I've had several. I don't remember many favorite teachers, but I definitely had some favorite professors. Imagine you're going in and you're excited about this particular subject. I've used this before, but it's a good frame for this. Where you go in and you are stressed out. I mean, you got your syllabus is read over. You know when each assignment is done. You've already ordered the books and the supplemental reading. And you're sending emails after emails to the professor. And then finally, after the first class, you go up to him just to make sure he got all those emails. And he says to you, hey, look, I know you're stressed about this. I know you're going to do your best. But let me just ease your mind. You already have an A in the class. I've already given you an A. You've got 100% for all the assignments. But all I need you to do is to show up every day for class. I need you just to read the assignments. But take the pressure of the grade away and just come and learn. Come and live and enjoy what we have to talk about. That's what you and I have in Christ. We already have the A. We've received 100%, not because of our efforts, but because of the efforts of Christ. And what we do is we show up every day desiring to see and know why we've been made into the image of Christ. And you and I get to live that out. That's the heartbeat here. Let's keep going. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant, this is from Jeremiah 31, the introduction of the new covenant. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. He's given us a new heart, and I will write it on their minds. Then I will, listen to this, remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. No more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. There's no longer, and this goes back to earlier, it's a reminder of your sin. Jesus, because of the work of Christ, forgets them. It isn't divine forgetfulness, it's divine declaration. Jesus on the cross says, it is finished, paid in full. The Father planned it. Jesus accomplished it. The Spirit testifies to it. And nothing that you and I could ever do can be added to it. This is the gospel. So how do we respond? Stop trying to pay for a mortgage that's already been paid, right? Stop trying to pay for what has already been given. Rest in this grace. Obedience flows from acceptance, not for acceptance. It flows from it. Let your conscience be cleansed. If God remembers your sin no more, why do you keep resurrecting it? Live in confident worship. That's what we can do. When we sing with Blake and his team, we get to respond back to the Lord, understanding what he's accomplished for us. We don't come trembling with fear, but with gratitude and reverence. And then we can do this thing where we can trust in the finality of the cross. Once for all means once for you. Tim Keller says it this way. He says, it's not the strength of your faith, but it's the object of your faith that actually saves you. It's not your ability to muster up the power and to do it. It's the object. I shared this 6-7 years ago. The approach that the world uses for showing value. Let me give you the first one. The world system of love is this way. Okay, so first, if you behave a certain way, you come from a particular background or, you know, pedigree, or you went to a certain school, or you pull for a certain team, or all that kind of stuff, that behavior creates in relationship with other people a sense of value. And that value in those group of people gives you belonging. Okay, that's kind of the way it works, right? Your behaviors show your value shows your belonging with everybody around you. But this is the gospel's picture. The gospel's picture flips this. It starts off with the fact that in Christ you already belong. And as a result of belonging to him, that's where your value is dictated. And as a result of that, we see that and we respond and say, okay, if that's true of me, then I behave in light of that. Not the way that the world does, starting with behavior. I start with belonging. And what I want to do for a second, and I want to invite you to close your eyes and just listen, but you don't have to. We don't have a camera focusing on who did and who didn't. But this is an opportunity for something to bless you that has blessed me. So let me read it for you. It'll sound familiar. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold, the man upon a cross, my sin, our sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that your spirit and power would rest on us today. Help us see this gospel work that is finished. Help us understand the gravity and the weight of it. That, Lord God, we understand we belong. And I just pray that you would help us rightly respond in obedience in light of that truth. Lord, we thank you for this. We trust you. Lord God, I pray that your spirit be present with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you just to stay seated and just listen. And you can sing along, but just stay seated and just rest on these words.
Oh, deep the Father's love for us.
So I would ask you, you don't have to raise your hands, but who besides me needed to hear this today? Do you need to be reminded of this? Then I would ask you, the second question is, who do you know in your life that needs to hear what you just heard about this gift of the gospel in Jesus Christ and his word that we just learned about together? Who needs to hear what you've heard? And would you be a good steward of those things and share that with them? Just take the time and just walk them through and let them see how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure.